Yo, 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 welcome to the Banana Boat. We got two thirds of the big three here tonight. I'm Michael Smith out of Austin, Texas.
Yes, sir. Marcus Jackson out of Dallas. Bears just won. Very, very happy, but the office was very sad today.
Tough time to be a Cowboys fan for sure. I got home from kids baseball and I think I watched part of that game and just was like, I'm going to save my energy for the Chiefs. And then the Chiefs were pretty frustrating to watch, but they at least got the dub. So Mizzou and Texas won this weekend, though. So good wins, especially for Mizzou beating South Carolina. But yeah, we're here to kick it off with some NBA topics. We're a couple days away from training camp kicking off for a couple teams and a little bit less than a week for the rest of the team. So it's kind of crazy. We've been talking about it all summer, but now we're basically at the doorstep of training camp. So we still have a lot of news kind of bubbling up. We still have fake endorsement deals being paid, so that's where we're gonna start it off. Pablo Torre came out with another podcast, so just when you thought the body was buried, he dug it up and buried it again. Steve Ballmer's corpse, and possibly his I don't think it's gonna go that far, but we'll see what type of punishment comes. But kind of question I'll kick it off with is, will the NBA punish the Clippers? And if so, let's talk about that punishment. But before we do that, we're going to set the table with the one other known time that this has been done and what the punishment was. So back in 1999, Joe Smith, player out of Maryland, I was a vet in the league by this point, had three consecutive one-year deals that he signed with the Timberwolves that were under market value. And so what what David Stern did at the time to punish them was he fined the Timberwolves $3.5 million. He made them forfeit five first-round picks. Two of them actually got returned later, so it ended up being three first-round picks when it was all said and done. And he voided Joe Smith's contract, and he lost his Larry Bird rights, which essentially your Bird rights allow you to sign back with a team for more than the team that you were with. If you were on a longer term deal, or if you've been with that team for a certain amount of time, you can sign with them for above the salary cap. So he lost his Bird rights. The Timberwolves lost three first round picks. So again, when it was all said and done, and they were fined $3.5 million. So that was the one other time that we know of this being done from a cap circumvention standpoint. So do you think Adam, Mr. Nice Guy Silver, is going to have this a similar punishment here, or what are you predicting this punishment could look like?
I think the unfortunate part for the NBA is that this story landed with Pablo Torre, and maybe other reporters had heard some whispers about this. Maybe other guys had known this story in the background, but the fact that it found itself in the lap of a guy like Pablo Torre, who's known. I mean, I've heard his name a few times, but I've never listened to his podcast before this. Obviously, trying to make a name for himself, he's appearing on a ESPN platform challenging Adam Silver. I don't know if you have seen that yet in his interview, but he's essentially saying there's too much proof for you to look away, Adam Silver, and challenging him man to man that you can't turn away, that you're trying to sweep this under the rug, that you want to, that in a sense, you want this to kind of go away and the media storm to die down. But Pablo was calculated with this, he was Kendrick Lamar-esque with this. And he's going to keep pushing the buttons and make it so that Adam Silver has to do something. And if Adam Silver doesn't do anything, people are going to wonder why. He doesn't have as much cachet as a Brian Windhorst, who cares about his relationships with the NBA. He doesn't have as much cachet as some of these other guys that have already made a name. So he's going to make a name for himself. You have to. If you're the NBA, there's too much evidence. So even if it is a mistake, even if Steve Ballmer didn't know what was going to happen, even if he was just duped out of hundreds of millions of dollars, you have to make some kind of example. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll go back and set the table for who Pablo Torre is too. So he was with ESPN for quite some time. He actually had a show called High Noon with Bomani Jones for a few years. He's done a lot of stuff on ESPN through like Around the Horn when it was going on. He makes routine appearances on Pardon the Interruption, but he's switched since gone over to Dan Le Batard's company, And this Pablo Torre finds out he's been doing this for a little bit. So funny enough, actually, this summer, he uncovered an NFL collusion scandal that ultimately led to Lloyd Howell Jr., who was the executive director of the NFL Players Association, having to step down from his job because
Wow.
it news came out that Lloyd Howell Jr. was using NFL funds to basically using the company card to fund strip club visits and things like that. So a lot of things were uncovered. So as you point to, and as I even kind of dig up a little, like kind of give a little bit more substance to, the Pablo Torre is not the guy that found out. He's the guy that finds out, and he's going to keep on finding out. So
Facts.
I can respect it. I know Darius isn't here to talk and argue his side of the pod, but I think this is one of the most interesting stories, not just of this summer, but of the last few years in the NBA, because it's something that I feel like I've always wondered about, but we've never really seen a hard line example. You're kind of like, oh, well, Jalen Brunson signed for $114 million under the cap. I wonder if he's got a side deal or Dirk Nowitzki, which that's why I think Mark Cuban's riding so hard for Steve Ballmer, because I feel like he's like, man, if they get him, then they're gonna get me too. And so
Right,
I think Mark
right.
Cuban's definitely riding hard because of that. But I think you have to punish. There's too many things here to look like it's a coincidence. I mean, we can argue through and sift through all the facts another day, but with everything that's come out, there's too many things that are linking Steve Ballmer and aspiration together. And there's too much coincidental. And if you're listening to the pod, I'm using the finger quotes. There's too much coincidental timing of when a payment was due to Kawhi Leonard and when Steve Ballmer decided to invest more money in this company. So I think if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, chances are it's a duck. And I think the NBA's got to do a thorough investigation here. And I think that more is going to be, they're at least going to have to be transparent with the findings. They can't just say, oh, we're going to get to All-Star break and kind of let the All-Star game be played here and then kind of magically let this disappear. I think whatever they find out, they're going to have to kind of uncover, because eventually, if they don't, somebody like Pablo Porro is going to come out and be like, hey, I got more that you guys, and I have information on how you guys even did your investigation or lack thereof. So if I'm predicting the punishment, I don't think it's going to be as heavy-handed as the Joe Smith contract. I think Kawhi Leonard still ends up being on the Clippers when it's all said and done. But I do think they don't really have any upcoming first round picks to really give up.
Yeah.
But I do think they'll lose a couple first round picks. And I think Steve Ballmer, $3.5 million in 1999. I don't know what the conversion rate is to that today, but anything short of a Billy is like pocket change to Steve Ballmer.
Yeah.
As we see, I think whatever he invested in aspiration, you should double that, and that's what his
Whew.
finding in the Clippers organization.
So
So that's my thought.
we're somewhat in line, and I'll go even farther. Like, this situation would be like, the police department. They hear about a cop on the force, abusing his power or whatever, beating people or whatever. So then they have to investigate their own and say, oh, we'll put them on leave. And if there's no public attention, what they're gonna do, put them on leave, paid leave, call it a suspension and bring them back and slap on the wrist. But because there's public attention, when public eyes go on it, then they have to do an actual investigation and they actually have to fire their guy and possibly take away his pension. And you have to appease the public. And I think that's what this is similar to. Adam Silver didn't want this. He just wants the league to be smooth. Okay, you got Duke, blah, blah, blah. But no, he has to actually have to make a decision. And I think what would be fair is so Kawhi's contract is 3 years, 150 million for the Clippers. If I were in Adam Silver's situation and I want to save the Clippers, the NBA, but I also have to act like I'm punishing the Clippers, what I would say is three first, first for each year the Kawhi is cheated the cap. The Clippers don't have really any first. Well, they have a swap in 2027. And then they have another swap in 2029. I would say you don't get those swaps. Two of those picks go away completely. And then I would take another one of their picks in 2030. That's the first time they're supposed to have their own. So they wouldn't have their own pick until 2020, 2031. And then because they circumvented the cap, I would make any out essentially these next 3 years, I would treat them as a second apron team. So no mid-levels exception, no cash in any trades, no contract, no aggregating contracts, in a trade, no sign-in trades, and I would penalize them as if they were a second apron team money-wise. So that's probably about 100 million in luxury taxes, which again, that's probably like 3.5 million to Steve Ballmer.
But when you're hampering his ability to compete as a team, because really he's shown that there's no limit to the amount of money he's willing to pay to win, which I can respect. I mean, he fronted most of the money in the new stadium. He gave Kawhi Leonard money outside the cap. So he's money wise, you're not going to do much to be able to affect him. But I think, when you're taking away his ability to compete and win, I think that's where you probably have the most effect. I think if they really want to punish him, they should turn Kawhi Leonard's contract from a 3-year deal to a 6-year deal, because this has to be like you think about like this team and like all the things,
Back. Paul George
like
has to be back on the Clippers.
he's basically held this team hostage for the past 6 years. Like every year it's, will Kawhi play, or when is he coming back, or are we going to sign him to a long-term deal? I just feel like the ultimate punishment would be making him stay on the team longer than he's supposed to be, because I almost feel like if you voided the contract, in some ways you'd be doing the Clippers a favor, because it's like, well, now we can hit reset. Because I feel like they're like that guy that's at the poker table that already went all in, and now he's like, he has to keep going all in. Like at this point, hey, I'm all in. I can't pull my bet out. So I might as well, I'm gonna keep doubling down. I'm gonna keep
And
doubling down.
honestly, it wouldn't like deter free agents to come. If anything, they'd be like, oh shoot, they're getting money under the table. I want to be a Clipper. They're getting first class treatment. They're
On
getting
the
a little
death
bit of
row.
money on the side. Like there's never been a situation where people heard about dirty money and majority of the people were like, oh no, in sports or something like that. Alabama's handing out checks under the table. That's where I want to be. I mean, of course not me. I'm a man of integrity.
Eric Dickerson, Mr. Got a Trans Am and a Cadillac at SMU. He's somewhere
Oh, death
rolling.
penalty.
He's somewhere highly upset that he couldn't be around when NIL was around. But yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I don't think it's going to deter players from wanting to play there, but I do think they got to affect winning. So do we think that this is going to lead to other examples being uncovered, or are guys just going to get better at hiding stuff?
Yeah, absolutely not. No one else is getting caught. This is one of those situations where someone gets their Heisman taken away, but all the other Heisman winners who are getting money, they keep their Heisman. No one else, from my belief, is you make an example out of this and we don't see this for another X amount of years, another 15, 20, 30 years or whatever. And we know it's happening. We know what's happening. It's just, are you going to get caught, or are you going to learn and be better at it? I don't even think this stops Steve Ballmer from doing this again if they get penalized. Let's say they lose three firsts, and two of them are swaps. You really only lost one really good pick, and you stick to doing what you were doing, paying players and circumventing the salary cap. So.
Yeah, it's going to be two different scandals come to mind. The steroid scandal, where every time MLB implemented new testing rules, the players are like, all right, well, we can't use the clear anymore, so we're going to use HGH. Like the
Right.
players were always ahead of the testing. And then I think of Tim Donaghy as another example. He probably wasn't the only dude betting on games. He was the one that got caught. But for
And
the sake
spoke
of
about
the
it.
yeah, but for the sake of the league, David Stern was probably paying off everybody else to be like, you keep your mouth shut. Because
Facts.
if this looks like a widespread epidemic, then that's where it hurts the league. So same thing with this. I feel like if there's other examples that are uncovered, it gives the league more than a black eye. It gives them, I don't say a death knell, because I mean I won't say it's too big to fail, but it's too big to let one scandal let it fail. And
It
so
looks bad if it you uncover things and you find out like mid-level players are getting paid or under the cap.
Yeah.
Like, we all suspect the big names, but if for
Yeah.
some reason you start finding out and you're hearing like random guys, like a Jordan Clarkson in New York or like something silly like that, then it actually looks ugly. And I guarantee there's some name on there that has circumvented the luxury, the salary cap, and it would surprise us. There always is. There always is.
Yeah. And I know it's the Clippers, but it is LA. And the one
Yeah.
other name that immediately pops up is Jalen Brunson, and that's New York. It'd probably be looked at a little bit different if this was like the Milwaukee Bucks or the Minnesota. Well, I mean, I guess we have the Minnesota Timberwolves as an example before, but I think there's already this perception in the league of coastal bias. Like the league really only cares about LA and New York and Chicago and Houston and Dallas and feel like they only care about the big markets. I think if another example is uncovered, the biggest one that is probably the most likely is in New York. And I think that's where Adam Silver is a lawyer. He's a businessman. He's going to try to get ahead of this and say, whatever we need to do to keep any of these other examples quiet, like guys, like get your paper trails together so that this doesn't get found out again. And if it does, then I am going to basically bring the wrath of God down on whoever else sees this punishment and continues to walk and let their ways go astray. So.
No, that's fair. The last thing I'll say about it is I hope it's just a slap on the wrist because I genuinely feel bad for like the Clippers and their fans. Like, okay, they've had a decently winning team for the longest time, but it's bad luck after bad luck, whether it's injuries, whether it's Sterling, whatever. What was the previous owner's name? Sterling something?
Donald Sterling.
Donald
Yeah, Donald Sterling.
Sterling. Like, we've been hearing stories about the Clippers since I was a little kid and their bad luck. Overall pick Michael Aluando, like it's bad.
Oluwakandi.
All of whatever his name is.
Oluwabust. How about that?
Facts.
That's
He don't deserve a name. You know what I mean?
fair. Yeah. Yeah. I don't feel bad for him because I mean they have the richest owner in the league and it's not even close, but I do get what you're saying and I get the sentiment. So we'll go ahead and give some room for that one to breathe. I'll be definitely be curious to see if more comes out. I think now that we're getting into training camp, it's probably like easier to focus the lens somewhere else and focus the lens on like stuff going on in the court. So with that being said, let's go ahead and kick into a somewhat related topic to being on court, but the NBA has been talked about recently of expanding. Whether that for years it had been, oh, they're going to end up expanding into Seattle or they're going to end up expanding into Vegas. But then we saw LeBron and Jokic meeting in Europe over the summer, and it was all of a sudden they're talking about this league that's going to launch in Europe. And we really didn't know what it was. We thought, man, is this going to be like a separate league or what, like how is this going to exist? But essentially, what's coming out is that the NBA is going to expand their league into Europe, and they're going to take teams that exist already. So they're not ex planning expansion franchises. They're going to basically take the Real Madrids of the world and the Barcelonas of the world and the Panthiagos of the world, take pre-existing teams and create their own league that they'll look to basically kind of run separate of the NBA, but in Europe. And so curious to see what exactly that means. I know you had a good idea or a good thought about it, so I'll let you go ahead and throw that idea out first, and we can kind of talk about what we think this NBA European League is going to look like.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit, how this Euro League would essentially integrate into the NBA, and what does it mean? Is it just some side league that we pay no attention to? And I think the first thought is, do the champions of the NBA Euro League play the NBA champions? And I'm not really for that, only because I think it'll just be a slaughter every year. And if for some reason, it might be competitive, but it's because the NBA champions just—they came off a championship. They're drinking, practicing, and they don't want to play. I think what would be more competitive and more fun for the fans is if they use this NBA Cup that the mid-season NBA Cup that they do. If they integrate the Euro NBA into that, now that's already a Euro type thing that comes from soccer. So if you keep the theme and you have maybe, 16-year-old teams, and four of them win their side of the bracket in the cup, and you use those four to integrate into cup games, and allow them to participate in that, I think now we have a real showing. It's midseason. Teams are trying to win. Whether these games go against their regular season, I think they should. So teams are gonna try to play hard. They're trying to win games because it counts towards whether they make the playoffs. And then you finally get to see real top teams from the EuroLeague play against real competitive NBA basketball teams. Because the whole argument about, hey, our Euro teams can beat your teams in the NBA preseason, like, it's not a real argument. Most
Yeah.
stars aren't playing. Like, we're gonna see that next week. The preseason games. I think Real Madrid plays. I think Barcelona plays. They might beat a couple NBA teams. So I'd love to see them in the NBA in-season cup. And the other thing that I'd mention is that I don't want to see old Euro guys getting drafted anymore. I think between the two leagues, trades should be fair game. Like, you should be able to trade for a Milos Titasek, who was a veteran in the EuroLeague and came over and played for the Clippers like a decade ago. These guys are coming out like 28-year-old rookies. I think there should be a rule of, like, 22 or younger. Yes, they're a rookie from the Euros, but if this is our side league, I think like trades or being brought up like the G League or something like that should be allowed.
I will stop with I can't get with that one. That's a
Why?
bridge too far. I think they should implement it where if it's within the NBA, there's trades. If it's inter NBA, then it should be trades. I think if it's intra and they bring in the European League, then that's where it should operate like the European soccer leagues, where it's a transfer fee. So
So you're
I
okay with
don't.
these 30-year-old Euros being called rookies?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different league. I mean, maybe don't call them a rookie. It's all semantics anyways. Like, it's really like they're a rookie by NBA standards, but they're not rookies as professionals. So I think it's
True.
really a matter of semantics at that point. But I think, yes, I do think you should probably be like 22, 23 and younger. You shouldn't have already played at the professional level at the highest level in whatever league you're in. You shouldn't be at the Spanish A League and then be able to be like a 35-year-old guy and then transfer into to the or go into the NBA draft. I think you should just come over via a transfer fee. I mean, they do that in baseball too. Like Shohei Ohtani, when he came over, he basically the Angels paid his Japanese league team money for him to come over and play. So I think they should treat it that way. I don't think that they should trade players because I think it that would have to be collectively bargained to begin with.
Right.
Like, NBA players are never going to go for that. They're not going to say, yeah, in middle of the season, not only do I have to worry about getting traded to Charlotte, but now I got to worry about being traded to Santorini, Greece. Like, no way. Like I'll go there to visit, but like I ain't trying to get like actually like this spend real time over there. Like,
Julius
no thank
Randle over
you.
there getting
No thank
thrown
you.
over there, getting rid of his contract.
His wife was happy to leave New York to go to Minnesota. She very well might be happy to go to Siberia, Novosibirsk, Russia. Shout out to Janice Abeyo. But like, ain't no way, ain't no way. Like, if Brittany Griner is getting stopped for having cannabinoid oil in her
Oh
bag,
Lord.
like, ain't no
Nah.
way some of these NBA dudes are gonna make it through a security check.
Nah, that's facts.
So I can't get with that, but I do agree with the NBA Cup being a good testing ground, because I do think that that is going to lead to competitive games. And it's going to be like the NCAA tournament in a one game scenario. These European teams are going to potentially beat an NBA team like 1 out of 15 times, and they're going to maybe catch them on that right night. I don't think it should go account against like NBA teams' records or European
Yeah,
teams'
that's the hardest part.
records. That part, when you try to figure that part out, I don't know. So it would almost have to maybe become its own separate thing, and
Yeah, but you
maybe
can't
you
play
take.
more games. The players already complain about 82.
But that's where I say raise the stakes and raise the money, where now you're bringing in European leagues, and that's bringing in more eyeballs, because now Real Madrid's team is going to be bringing in Madrid like eyeballs from Spain. If you're taking Man City's basketball team in England, that's bringing in more eyes that may not care less about the NBA Cup. So I think you're raising it, and if you're looking to do games with those teams, that's where you can negotiate with the Sky Sports in England or whoever the leagues the TV contracts are. that cover the Spanish leagues. That's where you're bringing in more revenue. So I think that if you can raise the bar and maybe be like, hey, the winning team, each player gets $5 million. That may still be like, you know what, like I'm good, but I think you have to find a way to maybe not make it count against their record, but maybe raise how much money they make. But I do like the idea, like in the essence of the idea that the NBA Cup is basically the testing ground where you try to implement some of these teams playing against each other.
Yeah, so they have like, a cup game. The whole league's cup game will be on like a Tuesday or like a random Friday. I think if all 30 teams play one cup game against Euro teams, then I think it should. I think it should go against your record. This is why. You're an NBA team. You should theoretically beat the Euro team. So it's an automatic win. It should be equal for everybody. If you happen to lose, then you just suck. Like, you shouldn't. It should count against you. If you, it's essentially like playing the worst team in the league. Everybody should get a free win. You should beat the Washington Wizards. If you don't, that was on you. Your guys weren't ready that night. So I'm not too worried if all 30 teams do one cup game against a Euro team. And if for some reason, maybe that one cup game is literally the first round of the cup games. So maybe it's really only the eight teams that make it to the cup play one game, and that's the first round against the Euro Cup guys. If you lose, you lose. You just suck.
Yeah, I just think there's too much. Like, but you start incorporating stats, and you start thinking about all the different things. Like one team, the NBA team stats are going to go towards the NBA, and the European stats are going to go towards their European league, or where does that go? So that's where I think it would get kind of more challenging to kind of incorporate this into like their record and it counting against their NBA record. But that's not our job to figure out. I think the answer would be just to give the guys more money, but. That's ultimately the player's job to negotiate, and that's ultimately Adam Silver's job to negotiate as well. But
If
at
the
the end of the
games
day,
don't count, sorry, if the games don't count and you just give the guys more money, I think that creates a situation where the young guys play and the old guys sit out. Old guys say, "Hey, we have enough money." Young guys go out and get that extra check, and they get some valuable playing time, which I also think it's cool. Some of these young guys get a chance to show out and show what they're made of, and it becomes a competitive game because we do this whole talent versus system thing. Euros think they have a better system. We think we have better talent. Which one wins?
I got a good idea for you.
Okay.
We just got off the idea and the topic of cap circumvention.
Yeah. Oh,
What
no.
about the winner, whether it's if the NBA team wins, every player on that team gets a stake in the European League's team that they beat, and vice versa. So you got a European League that's like, hey, if we win, I get a 2% stake in the Minnesota
2%.
Timberwolves.
Lord have
I get
mercy.
it.
These teams
That's
are worth billions. 2% is a lot.
I know. So maybe you say 2% total and you split it amongst the team of and so you say, hey, the team gets 2% or the player gets 0.5% and it adds up to whatever.
There's guys on the NBA roster that will be cut the week after from a 10-day, and they end up with a 2% stake in some Euro team. That's not they got an early retirement. They have no more motivation to play.
Hey, I love it. I love it. Hey, they got to come up with some type of creative way. I don't think counting the records is the way to do it, but again, they're smarter. At least that I will concede that they're smarter men in that room when it comes to this specific topic of how to figure that out. But
I
I
don't
do
know if
think
they're
it gives
smarter.
the
We got owners getting duped by planting trees companies. I
that's
don't know.
fair.
Maybe in the right
That's fair.
situation.
That's why I tried to like narrow it down to like maybe this specific topic, but yeah, maybe even not, maybe even not. But I think it is an interesting idea, and it does bring in some interesting ideas of what they can do with it. But on the topic of Euros, where this episode we're calling it the all cop as we if you've listened to past episodes we've done Copper Drop, this is gonna be the all cop. We're copping every single topic.
Yes, sir.
And so with that, the next topic is going to be on the heels of the previous topic of European. We got a very European theme going today. So Giannis won the bronze medal with Greece in the FIBA EuroBasket tournament. He talked about how this turn. This was the most important accomplishment that he's ever done in his basketball life. So this is a guy that's won two MVPs. This is a guy that's won an NBA championship. But this isn't just limited to Giannis. I mean, Dennis Schroeder doesn't have an NBA championship, but him winning Eurobasket, I guarantee if you asked him, he would say this is the biggest trophy he's ever going to win. But you don't really see that much from guys from Team USA. I think they talk about the importance of it, and I think some of them say, like, hey, if I got five rings, I would trade one of my rings for a gold medal. But I don't think that it equates the same as an NBA championship and a gold medal, not even of the Olympics, but just a gold medal for your country playing the same importance as an NBA championship. Where a lot of these guys, I mean, Jokic is the best player in the game regardless, but like he becomes an even another level of a monster when he plays for Serbia. And you see Bogdan Bogdanovic, another guy that's a solid and really, I would say, really good NBA player. But for Serbia, that dude like is a monster as well. And Patty Mills, like average NBA player, like role player in the NBA, but then goes to Australia
Steph
and
Curry.
turn, yeah, yeah, and turns into the mon like the Green Monstars. So, why do you think that it seems more prevalent for European players to believe that winning a gold medal for their country is more important than winning an NBA championship? And why do American players not feel the same way?
It's simple. American fans are fickle. Most young guys and even older guys, me too, I include myself in this. We're not players of teams anymore. We have our team, us at least, but the new generation, they just have their players. And so it doesn't mean as much when you win for a team because you're rooting for that player. Here's a good example. Stephen A. had a quote maybe a few 2 3 weeks ago, said something. He said that Giannis underachieved. And it's because he's looking at Giannis's, championship ring, and he's saying that's not enough for you. If you are a fan or if you live in Greece, one medal is enough. He's forever memorialized. He's already all those players' heroes, but Giannis is forever memorialized in Greece. If you're a Giannis fan in America, even if you're a Bucks fan, you might love that man for bringing you a championship. But you're saying, all right, what are you going to do lately for? What are you going to do now for me? Okay, go out and win another one. Okay, compete again, compete again. It's not enough if he just is on cruise control for the rest of his career. I just don't think we have that kind of team passion. I'm a Bulls fan. I kind of watch him. My whole life isn't surrounding the Bulls. I pay attention to Drew Holiday. I pay attention to the Thompson Twins. If you're a Greece fan, you're following Greece and you're following all Greece's players in the NBA. Like, we're just the most fickle fans. He's a legend in Greece now, though.
Yeah. I'm going to read you ESPN's morning lineup starting at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central. You have Get Up. Following that, you have First Take. Following that, you have the Pat McAfee Show. Then you have SportsCenter, but then you have NBA Today. You have NFL Live. You have Pardon the Interruption. And then I'm going to look at Fox Sports FS1's lineup. You have to kick off the morning, you have Wake Up Barstool, which is a Barstool sports lineup show, which is relatively new. But then you have The Herd, and then you have First Things First. All of those shows have a very central and core theme that they talk about. And it's basically debate TV. And I feel like Cold Pizza, which then became First Take, and then spawned many other shows like it, created a lot of talking heads. And I think when Michael Jordan was playing, you did have the talk about who was the greatest player ever. But I don't think Michael Jordan would turn on the TV at 7 a.m. and see somebody arguing about, man, is MJ or LeBron the GOAT? Turn it off and then turn it back on at 11 a.m. and say, man, is LeBron or MJ the GOAT? Turn it off. Man, at 2 p.m., they're still talking about Kobe or LeBron. Like now they've thrown in Wemby. Is he going to be the next GOAT? And I feel like what it's created is this mindset, especially for NBA players, because I don't know what European TV looks like. I know that there's European shows like Money Heist. I've seen that. That started out as a European show, but I don't think they talk about soccer the way that we talk about the NFL and about the NBA. But I would highly bet that they don't have show after show after show after show that just talks about this dude's legacy and that dude's legacy and this dude's legacy. The way that they talk about it within the league that they play in, they talk about it holistically. Like when you hear about Cristiano Ronaldo, like it's talked about like what he does for Portugal is just as important as what he ever did for Juventus or Real Madrid or his current club in Saudi Arabia. Same with Messi. Like for him, winning a World Cup, a FIFA World Cup, was like the crowning jewel of anything that he'd ever done. But I think that's because we just put so much emphasis and so much importance on like the American leagues that they play in, that becomes like we're conditioned to believe that this is the epitome of success and this is like what the mountaintop looks like. It's not a gold medal because I should get that. Like if I roll out of bed and I play with the five other best American players, like that's not an achievement because we're supposed to win that, and anything less than that is a lot like a mark against me. Whereas the NBA or the NFL or the NBA, you winning a championship based off what you've been conditioned to believe as a player is the mountaintop. And so I think that's why guys think that, because we've conditioned ourselves to believe as Americans that similar, like I hate that I'm gonna give some shine to Noah Lyles, but he had a point in the fact that like we called the NBA champion again the world champion. We call it the World Series. We call football, American football, like the Super Bowl, but they're called the world champions because we've put so much emphasis on our leagues being the top leagues and the crowning jewel of somebody's career, that I think that is why it's so much more important for a guy to win a ring in their league, because they see that as, man, this is what I'm going to be judged by ultimately. Carmelo Anthony's a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest Olympians of all time, but that's probably fourth or fifth down the line of things you bring up about him. You bring up all of his NBA achievements first, and he falls short of some of those other guys because he didn't have some of that same success. So I think you could do a anthropology or a sociology or a psychology report on maybe other reasons why. I think demographics and nationalism have another reason to do with it, but I think
Nationalism
that,
for sure.
yeah, but
But
I think the
also,
TV thing is a big part of it too.
it's a big thing, but also those guys are, so the TV thing takes away from players. So you'll get on there, a Kendrick Perkins will be like, I'm not here to talk down on anybody, but then he gives you five reasons why someone who's amazing isn't amazing. In their countries, those guys are celebrated 100%. Jokic is already he won an Olympic medal. He got the bronze. Okay, he failed in Eurobasket. Do you not think those fans are still celebrating him every sense of the way? He's a hero there. Like he's immortalized forever. There's nothing he can do wrong. He can lose every Eurobasket, for the next 8 years, and he's a king. He's a hero there. In the NBA, if for some reason he gets knocked out the first round this next year, oh yeah, they're gonna be talking. They gonna be talking. Jokic is the three-time MVP winner. He's not this. He's not that. In a league of parity, he can't dominate. Those guys, they're celebrating their company. So, not their company, their country. Giannis realized this really quickly. He became an NBA champion in 2021. About 2023, those talks started coming up again. There were some injuries along the way. Giannis isn't all that great. And he's still being talked about like that now. He's underachieved. He's this or that. He has to do this. He's not talked about that like that in Greece, and he just won he only got bronze. He didn't beat Turkey. They're not talking down on him.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's America in a nutshell in a lot of ways. I mean, like I said, we can go into the anthropologic and the philosophical reasons and the psychological reasons that's in play, but I
Just
think at
look
the
how
end of
they're
the day,
treating Dak here in Dallas right now.
it's It's an offshoot of social media, essentially. Like
Yeah.
we only have attention span for certain things, and so whatever's got to catch your attention is what's going to be talked about. And I think what's going to be talked about the most is when Patrick Mahomes has fallen off, or when Patrick Mahomes has won his third ring, we're already looking about, well, who's gonna be the guy to replace him? Is it gonna be Josh
Right.
Allen? Is it gonna be Lamar? Like we're always looking for the next thing, and we're always looking for the next guy, and we're always looking for a reason to rub a little bit of shine off of whoever's got the crown. And so I think it's created a league where for Americans we view it as the most important thing. But again, you ask Jokic and he's like, I think after he had the parade, he was like, I want to parade. But I think before they had the parade, he's like, man, I gotta stay here 2 more days. Like, I'm
Nah,
trying
I'm
to get back
trying
home. I'm trying to get back home
to
because it's
get
just
y'all.
not, he's like, I want a league, but this isn't what's important to me. Like, what's
Yeah.
important to me is representing my country.
Yeah.
And yes, I love basketball, but it's a way to take care of my family. But I just think we just created this society that's just so much about like performance and at all costs. And LeBron, love him or hate him, I think he can be cringy at times. I think he's a great player. I think he does a lot
Always.
of good, but he's a product of the culture that he grew up in, where it's basically like MJ didn't grow up in that culture where it's like we're constantly talking about and constantly looking to poke holes in you. And yes, he had holes poked in him, but it wasn't on TV all day, every day. And so I think you see a LeBron that has those, in his insecurities are basically laid bare because Stephen A is going to talk about his kid the next day on social on First Take
Yeah,
if he doesn't drop 20 points.
and Marcus Jackson is going to trash him every podcast he gets.
It's all right though, because you're a Bulls fan that trashes your own team too. So
That's true.
you're at least fair when it comes to that.
Yeah, that's true.
But we're gonna keep it moving with another European topic. So which European player do you think is going to be due for a breakout, and who's going to be your sleeper Euro? And you said again before we got on the pod, you seem to have a deep. We were going to go deep in the cut for your takes. I'm curious who you got because I got two names down, and I'm going to put one as my breakout guy, and I'm going to put one as I think is a sleeper. But I'll be curious to see what you got.
Yeah, my sleeper is the deep dive, but I'll go ahead with the breakout. The breakout is pretty obvious. Did you have a Denny Advia?
I did not. I did not. So expand
So
on it for me.
Denny plays for Israel. He was all Eurobasket second team. Dude averaged 24 in the tournament in a 40-minute game. And right now he plays for the Blazers. He was essentially their best player last year. If you watch the Blazers at all, you're a sick NBA fan. Like no one was turning those games on. I heard about Tumani Kamara. I'm also a big Denny fan. I wanted to see how Scoot was progressing, so I definitely turned on the game. Shaedon Sharpe was putting up 20 points per game here and there. So I watched a lot of their games. But I think Denny will have a similar route like Lauri did. When he played for his national team, everything goes around. They do the system. You're the son of that system, and then you go back to your team in the NBA. And this is one of those situations where Denny should be looking around and be like, "I'm the guy here. Like, there's nobody better than me on this team. Like, Jeremy Grant, get your paycheck, sit in the back. You're washed. Sit back down." Afrenny Simons, leading scorer. Shipped off. Scoot, probably overrated, may not even be the starter. Shaedon Sharpe averaged the most points for the Blazers last year, but it's no guarantee that he's going to start. And he doesn't play enough defense to stay on the floor. So you're going to have a defense heavy lineup with the Blazers. And if I'm Denny, like I'm looking around and I'm like, this is my team. There's nobody else better than me. And I think the biggest comparison I could make would probably be that Sixers team. I think it was a 2011-2012 Sixers team. Ironically, Drew Holiday was on that team too. But Andre Iguodala was seen kind of as the best player. He was the guy that he made the All-Star team that year. Lou Williams was the highest scorer on that team. And I think that would be, Shaedon Sharpe on the Blazers this year. But the Blazers need a go-to guy. They need someone to, kind of rally around. Drew Holiday's a little bit too old for that. Dame is injured. And the rest of the guys are young guys coming into their own. And so if you need that rally guy, I think Denny's going to be that guy. And I feel like it's maybe a year where he goes like, 27-5, and he gets close to the All-Star game.
I'm gonna say cheat, but I am going to do a guy that's not technically born overseas, but his national team, through his parents being both foreign born, he's able to play for a national team that is in Europe. And I'm gonna go with a baby bull in Mantas Buzelis. He's a
Hey.
Lithuanian American. I think he is due for a breakout. I think he's going to get a lot more opportunities. I think his numbers, once he got an opportunity to start in some games, and once he got an opportunity to get more minutes, his stats went up.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to look to feature him a lot more this year. I think Josh Giddey is going to be another guy that they feature a lot. I'll be interested to see what they do with Kobe White, but I think if the Bulls are going to do anything, they're going to have to feature Mantas Buzelis. And if they
Who's
want to know what, go
his
ahead.
national team, by the way?
Lithuania.
Oh, okay. He didn't play for the Eurobasket, did he?
No,
No, he didn't.
no. But if they want to know what they have, I think they need to feature him as well, because he's not exactly an old player, but I mean, he's going into year two. It's a vital year. I think these next 2 years, you're basically gonna get after this season and after next season, you're basically going to be looking at having to sign him to an extension. I think you want to exhaust the next 2 years of really capping out and seeing what he is as a player to know what type of extension he's going to be getting. Because I hate to say it, but you know that the Bulls have given out some bad extensions, with Patrick Williams
90 million.
being subject number one. So,
90 mil.
but I just think he's a talented dude. He can handle the ball. He can jump out the gym. He plays hard. So I think he's due to be a breakout player and have a breakout year. I mean, he only averaged 8 points a game next year, so breakout is subjective, but I think he could average 16, 17 points a game next year.
Yeah, I mean, he better. I don't know who else is on the
Kobe will average 20 just because there's not enough shots to go. There's only so many. Yeah, you have to have somebody shoot the ball. And Josh Giddey, I mean, we can joke about him all day, but he's definitely a pass first guy, and he can't shoot still, so he's going to be looking to set people up.
It's gonna be cool to see Bezelis on his national team eventually. I think what Jonas Valančiūnas is getting old, but he was Lithuania. Was there anybody else? I can't think of anybody off.
Domantas Sabonis, because of I mean, he was born over there, I think technically too, but his dad Arvydas is Lithuanian, so
Oh yeah, that's right.
he's
He
still
didn't play in
younger, so I mean, they could
Eurobasket either.
play.
That's kind of weird.
No, I don't know that Lithuania made it. I think they, I
No,
don't
they
know if they
didn't.
qualified.
No,
They did?
Jonas was playing. He had a couple good games.
Okay.
They have another NBA player. I can't remember who, but they didn't get that far. They were out pretty much right away. I'm gonna go with someone even younger as my sleeper. It's Igor Denman.
That was
Yeah.
definitely.
Nobody was gonna choose. Darius definitely wasn't gonna choose if he was on for sure. Now I don't think he
Yeah,
knows who.
I don't think he would have known who that is.
He's the Nets' ninth pick. On draft night, people kind of poo-pooed him because he didn't have the best showing in college basketball. He didn't shoot the basketball well, but he was the only guy doing anything at BYU. He's 6'9", point guard, could play point guard, small forward, shooting guard. He's got he's a savant. People don't know who he is yet. You will know who he is. He's got a NBA body. He's got an IQ. I think he has the best chance, one of the best chances at rookie of year of any player. You look at that Nets team, it's Michael Porter Jr., Cam Thomas, right? Cam Thomas. I always get them mixed up.
I'm going
Cam
to say Cam
Thomas.
Whitmore.
No, Cam Thomas and Cam Johnson, since they both played on
Oh,
the Nets.
okay.
Those guys are going to be shooting a whole bunch, but all the playmaking, all the dribbling, all the extra assists are going to go to Igor. And he's just gonna have like there's not a lot of rookies in the league that are gonna have a long leash, and he's gonna be able to do anything out there. I actually genuinely think he's gonna become a really good player. and he's a Russian-born player. Russia wasn't in Eurobasket, but I'm sure they will be in the future. I'm sure we'll see them later on in the Olympics and things like that. And he may not pop off the screen as a rookie year, but I think he's going to show why he was picked so high, and he's going to surprise a lot of people.
You know who's not going to be a sleeper, who's not going to get picked, I should say. He could be a sleeper because somebody put him to sleep by baptizing him in summer league.
Oh, Lord. No, not the
Noah
first. What's that? Oh, no.
Senge is
Noah
definitely not going to be.
Essengay. Oh, Lord.
He's not going to be a sleeper.
Why do I have no faith on,
Nope.
bro? Why do I have
Nobody.
no faith in him?
Nobody's
Zero.
sleeping on. He's getting slept. He ain't getting slept on.
I forgot he was on our team.
But I
I
say
really
that
forgot.
because the person I'm gonna pick is the person that put him to sleep, and I think that's Johnny Furphy.
Johnny Furphy?
I'm
Who's
gonna
he
put him.
play
Yeah,
for?
the Pacers.
Oh, no.
He's not technically European. He's Australian, but he was
That counts.
a good a decent level prospect coming out. I mean, he played at Kansas for a year and didn't really even play much at Kansas, but I think by nature of everybody's roles being elevated to a
Yeah.
degree with the Pacers, with Haliburton being hurt, Miles Turner, obviously not the same position, but is no longer there. They're going to be looking for some different guys. And I'm not saying he's a breakout guy, but I think he's a sleeper Euro over the next 2 or 3 years that could sleeper foreign born player. But Australia, basically, it was an English territory. They got basically the same flag. So I'm calling him European, but I think Johnny Furphy is going to be one that I think could be a sleeper foreign-born player
I hope,
over the
unlike
next
his
few
country
years.
man, he knows that the age here is 18. I hope they notified him, because obviously they don't be telling their players.
Oh
Oh,
man,
no.
they might not. They might not.
Oh, yeah,
Before
I
we
would
get.
never thought that one. Gosh, dang.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Johnny Furphy.
We ain't got to talk about this one, but you think Franz Wagner, like, in your mind, is he a top 20 guy or will be?
I'll give him top 35, and I think he could be an all-star because I think of the East being so watered down this year. But I
You don't
do
think he could be
think,
like a Jaylen Brown?
no, I don't see him being that level. He may put up more points per game just by nature of the opportunity. I mean, obviously this year Jaylen Brown could go off. Like, excuse me, he could very well drop 28, 29, 30 points a game just because he's never been shy to shoot the ball. It's just been opportunities that have limited him because he's the number two guy. But I don't think Franz is the level of player that Jaylen Brown is. I think he's another guy that when he plays for Germany, he's a really good NBA player. I think he's possibly a few time all-star, but he's another guy that just like looks like if you dropped a guy, an alien from outer space on the planet and told him watch Eurobasket or watch the Olympics, like they'd be like, there's no way this dude
It's Michael
what's his
Jordan over here.
name? Wagner. There's no way this
Wagner.
dude isn't the best player, like one of the top 10 players in the league, right?
Jay.
So
No,
but
I was wondering, because he's kind of in that same situation as Jaylen Brown is, came in. He's an older player, got drafted first, looked like a semi-star, and then somebody gets drafted after who's better than him, which is Paolo, and he's going into his fifth season. And in Jaylen Brown's fifth season, I feel like that was when he like stamped, like, he's the guy, like, I'm an all-star. And people were debating, like, is he better than Tatum? And we knew he wasn't better than Tatum, but it was a debate for a while. I feel like Franz is in that same situation. So I don't know. I think he could be a top 20 guy. I think.
I mean,
I mean,
maybe. I mean, he averaged 24 points a game last year, and he played less games. But yeah, I mean, he's a dude that he probably has the talent to do it, and I think he does put the effort in on the defensive end.
when
And
Paolo was
they.
out, he had like a crazy, like, 15 game run, and like five wins straight. And what he was looking like the centerpiece of a franchise for like a good 15 games before he got injured. Hit that crazy game winner against the Lakers. I don't know. He's doing all kind of wild stuff. I don't know. Maybe it was Jeremy Lin-esque type stuff. Like, he had a nice little run, but he's really not that guy. I tend to think he's close to an all NBA, all NBA type player. Close.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably next year put him top 30. Is he capable of being a top 20 guy? Probably. But I think what he showed in the time that Paolo was injured is closer to what he actually is than Jeremy Lin showing what he was for those 2 weeks.
Facts, facts.
So I will say that much. So with that, before we get into the Fred VanVleet news, I know the trivia this week's based off of European players, so I guess I'm the only one on here that can answer tonight. So we'll see.
Well, we skipped over for a second. It's actually about the Clippers. Kind of, it's an extension of the Clippers talk. I'll make it
Okay.
quick though. There's one guy. He's been a NBA MVP. He's been a coach of the year, and he's been an executive of the year. There's only one NBA player ever to do that. Any thoughts?
Jerry West.
No, that's a really good answer. Not
That
Jerry
wasn't, it's
West.
not Jerry West.
It's
Okay,
not.
so give
And
it,
he's
so tell me.
attached to the Clippers. So he's not any way attached to the Clippers. He's also been
Oh, okay. So the guy that you're saying is not attached to the Clippers.
he's not.
Okay, so that's why I went Jerry West because I thought you said he
That's
was
a really
attached to the
good answer. I
Clippers.
got to look that up, but no, it's not Jerry West. He's also
Okay,
the
so.
only guy after the merger to win MVP 3 times consecutively.
Oh, Larry Bird.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
He was
God dang, you got it.
coach for the Pacers, executive for the Pacers, I guess technically.
Yeah. And
Okay.
the reason he gets brought up is because I was looking up the penalty for Joe Smith, and they also took away Joe Smith's bird rights, which I didn't
Yeah.
know bird rights came from the
Larry
Larry
Bird.
Bird rule, which means
Yeah.
that you can sign a player for past the salary cap if you have their bird rights. So if they played for your team for like 3 to 5 years or something like that, and whatever.
Yeah, it was basically the rule was made because of him, because it was like the Celtics have put together so many good players that under the rules at that time, they weren't going to be able to sign Larry Bird. And the thought process was like, well, similar to honestly to the Celtics situation now is like, we drafted all these good players. Like, why are we being punished? Like, not being able to go above the cap, went to sign one of the best players in the league. And so, yeah, they changed the rule that if you play a certain amount of consecutive years, you can, with that team, you can go above the cap to sign him. So that's why they say, like, when a guy gets traded to a different team, or like Luka lost his bird rights when he got traded because he was no longer the with his team for a certain amount of years. So he can gain him back with the Lakers, but he has to be there for a certain amount of time. So, let's talk about some news that broke today. Fred VanVleet. We'll give about 5 minutes to this topic. Tore his ACL.
Man.
So what does that mean? Not what does tearing your ACL mean, but what does that mean for the shape of the league for 25-26?
I'm gonna go positive before I go negative. Thank God that Fred VanVleet is like a leader. He's a locker room guy. He's the president of the NBA Players Association. Like, these are all necessary components to what I'm about to say. His career as an effective NBA player is over. And I mean that with all respect to Fred VanVleet, who is an amazing leader. He's gotten everything out of his career and body that he could. He's not super athletic. He's not super quick. He's smart. He's high IQ. He's nifty. He's got a high arcing jump shot. Like, if you're a player with limitations like Fred VanVleet, he squeezed everything he could out of his potential. But
Yeah.
it's over now. Last year, he's undersized. He was shooting 37%. Shooting 35% from three. He was amazing at finishing games, but throughout a 48-minute game, he's just not that guy. He's made one all-star team. He's a great defender during that team. He was a leader. Again, he's never been high efficiency. And now you take away, and in comparison to the NBA, the little athleticism and movement that he has, and you're going to put him back when he's, 32, 33 on an NBA team. He's not going to be an effective player anymore. This is not Kyrie Irving. It's not an 80% of what you are. You're still going to be an all-star. 80% of what Fred VanVleet is not an NBA player anymore. But what do you think?
I When I saw it, I thought, I mean, it's been said over the 20 episodes that we've had, I'm a Kevin Durant fan.
Right.
I thought about it more from the lens of like, what does it mean for Kevin Durant's legacy? What does it mean for the Rockets? More so than Fred VanVleet, I hate to say. For him, I think it means he becomes a role player from here on out. So I agree with that. I don't think he, I think re, it's Reed Sheffer's job to lose at this point. Like if he's got it, he has the opportunity to show that he, what he can be. I think it's a very, very, di he's a very different player than this guy, but I think it's very potentially similar. Like, and it's a different team, honestly. It's not Kevin Durant, or it's not Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen, but I think it is similar to Rondo, having kind of being thrown in his second or third year in the league to be now having to like take the reins of a championship level team. So I don't look at it from the perspective of Fred VanVleet as much as I look at it as they are going to find out pretty quickly if Reed Sheffert is that guy or not. And if he is that guy, then they got a great player, and he's at least going to be a guy that isn't going to be thrust into like being the number one guy or number two guy on a championship team. He's more so like, I can still figure out how to play a role on a high level team, but I don't have to be the guy. Like, you got Kevin Durant first, you got Alperen Sengun, you got Amen Thompson. These guys are kind of the three, the triumvirate, and then you can kind of let me kind of come along and figure out how to get my 12 to 13 points and my 5 to 6 assists. So I think that is what it means to me. They got
What
enough
did you
talent to figure it out around them.
Think KD was going to ask for a trade after the news dropped? My next
I
chapter.
didn't. It.
OKC. Denver.
It didn't cross my mind, but I guess the door is open. I think if we get that Shams Charania update that Russell Westbrook has signed with the Rockets, then I think it's in play. It's in play.
Oh man, now the Rockets are so deep, man. The three guys I thought about was, yo, Sengun just came off of what, second place in Eurobasket. In my mind, if I'm Sengun, I'm like, oh, I'm the guy now. Like, the more playmaking, like, you're gonna split VanVleet's leadership and playmaking again amongst these three players: Sengun, Amen Thompson, and Reed Sheffert. All those guys are gonna have more playmaking on the ball duties now. They're going to be calling the offense, and KD is still going to just do what KD does, just score. He's still not going to be a bigger playmaker, in my opinion. Like, you have Amen Thompson at the two, probably Reed Sheffert at the one. If you don't start Reed Sheffert, that tells me a lot more about your confidence in him. Like, how do you not start the guy that you drafted at number three? And the whole time you've just been saying it's a confidence thing. He goes in the G League, he drops 40, 50 points. He gets to play against the Thunder last year, and he starts, he drops like 30 points. So if you don't start Reed Sheffert, it was all captain. If you're the general manager, if you're the owner, if you're the coach, and you just, oh, it's a confidence thing, it's all a confidence thing, and you don't start them, it's just cap to me then.
I think, I mean, you're right, because I think even when my first thought was like, what are they going to do at point guard? Who are they going to go get? But then you reminded me, Reed Sheffert,
Like,
and
you drafted him third.
and I think that Ime Udoka is definitely a guy that tends to lean on vets a lot more than young guys. But yeah, I mean, if you're Raphael Stone, then that's the Rockets GM, you're coming to Ime and you're like, hey, this is the team. I gave you a championship level team, and we were probably a year away from finding out from like Reed Sheffert potentially being the starter. Anyways, we gave Fred VanVleet a honestly relatively team friendly deal. We gave him an extension, but we gave him a relatively friendly team deal. So again, a year from now, we were probably looking at this kind of being the play, anyways, because then you're going into Reed Sheffert's third year. A third year after his third year, a guy can then sign a rookie extension. You're not signing a guy to a rookie extension without having any idea what type of player he is. So, especially number three pick, because he's going to come and say, I was a number three pick. Like, I may not get a max level deal, but like, I want something close. And you're going to be like, dude, you didn't even play. So I think this just starts the clock a year early on being able to figure out what you have with him. And if he's not the dude, then you make a trade. at the trade deadline or sooner, or you kick the tires on Russ.
No, stop, stop. What are your predictions though with this? What are your predictions about Reed? What are your predictions about how far Houston goes now?
I think Reed proves to be a top half of the league level starter.
Okay, top 15. Woo!
I don't think he's not, I'm not saying that in the first year. I think he proves that that's what he projects to be a top half of the league starter. I'm
Man,
not
it's a
saying
lot of
this
point guards, Mike.
it is, but I think he there's a lot of them that are on their way out and getting older too, and
Top
so
15 means you're dang near elite.
Elite is top five.
That's like Jamal Murray.
All
That's Jamal Murray, like territory, like regular season
Jamal
Jamal
Murray.
Murray.
Jamal Murray is like top 10.
Go.
15, 15. I hate doing this on the pod where I'm just sitting here reading off a list, but I might have to.
Nah, I got you. I'm gonna pull it up right now. Let's go through it. Like, it's a point guard heavy league. Let me
I
hold
know. I know, but.
on. Go back. Where the heck is my list?
All right, we got Shai Gilgeous. I mean, and it also, I guess, depends on your definition of point guard because I see Shai Gilgeous, Alexander, and Luka. I'm like, they're point guards because they're lead ball handlers.
Yeah, I don't even count Shea really,
But
but
you're getting to like LaMelo Ball. I guess Jamal Murray is by NBA 2K rankings number 14. You got Tyrese Maxey's number 15. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'll say
like
top 20 because top after
Brunson,
17, it
Cade,
drops off quick.
Steph, Ja Morant, Trae Young, De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Maxey, Garland, LaMelo, James Harden still was All-Star, All-NBA. Like the list is
Yep.
deep. It's
You're right.
deep.
So I think if I'm looking at just like this isn't the gospel, but if I'm going
Yeah.
off the NBA 2K ratings, they have De'Aaron Fox as the 16th rated point guard, which seems kind of crazy. I mean, they have him as an 85 on here, but then the drop off comes, and I know it's your man, but like Kobe White is ranked after him, and I'm like, to me,
Is a big, no, that's a big drop off.
that's like All Star, been an All Star, and projects to potentially be a future All Star versus like, I'm looking to
Well,
replace this guy
high
at any
role player.
moment.
Yeah.
Yeah,
High role
I'm looking to
player.
replace this guy because then it goes
Six man,
Kobe White,
maybe.
Dyson Daniels, Jalen Suggs, Emmanuel Quickley. Like I'm thinking like. Top 17, like I think he'll be better. He has the potential to be a better, maybe not talent than Kobe White, but a better NBA point guard than Kobe White.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm pulling for him. I think he'll end up being really good this first year. I think it's not too big of a role for him because you have KD, Sengun, and then Amen Thompson has like otherworldly expectations at this point. So if you just play your role, I think he'll end up being really good. But I more so see this as like, all right, KD gets to step up and he gets more credit, I think. If he does well, he gets more credit. He's going to have a good regular season. But once he gets to the postseason, like, there's no other closers on the team. It's him. Fred Van Vliet was their closer last year. Now it's just you, KD. So I'm excited. Not excited about the ACL tear, but I think Van Vliet will be around a long time as like a coach or whatever you want to put him as an assistant. He's going to be in the league for a long time, so.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. Well, we will end that topic there and we will move on to the Stuck on a Boat draft. So this is going to be interesting because it's just two of us. So we're basically going to be
Yeah.
going back and forth and we're not going to do a snake draft.
It makes it a lot
So.
easier because I had a lot of trouble writing down 12 names just in case before.
Yeah. So, I guess I'm technically first in the order based
That's
off
fine.
Darius not being here.
I don't think you're gonna pick my guy anyway.
So you're not going to Anthony Edwards first?
Nope. I
Okay,
think I'll get
well.
all my players actually.
Okay, so.
I put Cade over Ant because as the face of the league, I don't think Ant wants to be that. He got too many baby mamas.
I think it's
I haven't heard of not one Cade baby mama yet.
I almost think it's gonna be this what is that bestowed upon him. If you ever seen a barbershop, he's like, it was bestowed upon me. Like I feel like whether he wants it or not, it's gonna be bestowed upon him. So I'm taking Ant, so you got Cade.
I got Cade.
I got Jason Tatum.
Okay. Really? Is it weird? I don't think there's like a Tatum, Jaylen Brown like individual face of the league anymore. I think they're like together, two and two. I don't know. I'm gonna go LaMelo.
Oh.
Oh,
Maybe the face of the tick, maybe the face of like Gen Alpha, the
man,
league.
hear me out, hear me out. This is why I picked LaMelo. All the kids know him. He's a reality TV show star, and he's the type of player. This is how I figure out who's the face of the league. Does my wife know them? My wife doesn't know LaMelo yet, but he's the kind of guy that will get into some reality show stuff where she will know him. All he has to do is become a winner. That's it. He's got the popularity. He's got the internet. All, if he just makes the playoffs for like the next 5 years,
That's not enough.
no, it
That's not
is.
enough.
It is.
That's not
If he
enough.
on a winning
Just
team,
if
he
you're
becomes
judging by
a
the metric, if you're judging by the metrics of who's more well known,
he essentially becomes a James Harden.
Lamar Odom is more famous, is more of a face of the league than Anthony Davis, if you're going by those
Not
metrics.
Anthony
Because
Davis.
no, I'm not saying Anthony Davis is a face of the league, but I'm just saying if you're going by the metrics of who's more popular, Lamar Odom's more famous than Anthony Davis because he dated a Kardashian and was on whatever the Keeping Up with the Kardashians show. So I'm not gonna side with you.
I
I'm not gonna
mean,
rock with it being like LaMelo's the face of the league because
he.
he's because little kids know him on Fortnite. Like,
No.
care
But he
less.
has the prerequisite skill. I think he's
But he's
literally
not a
good.
winner. To me, he's not a winning player as your
I'm saying
one.
it's a lot
If he's
easier to.
winning, it's gonna be because he's the number two player on a team, not the number one.
To me,
And
I know you're gonna.
that you can't be you if you can't even be the face of your team, you can't be the face of the league.
We'll see. I know who you're gonna have on your list, and I think LaMelo has a legit chance of being the face of the league over him. You
You think
gotta
I'm
be.
gonna say Ja? I'm saying Ja. I don't care which. He's proven to be a winner already. He's done more winning than LaMelo has
Famous dance
ever
speech
done.
about LaMelo, and then you pick Ja.
And I know I'm a homer here. And he's got a signature shoe with the biggest shoe brand out. LaMelo's got a shoe with. I'm not gonna down any competitors on here, but it's not Nike.
It's just Ja's declining. He's declining. How do we put him on this list? This is a terrible draft.
I mean, LaMelo, it could be said that his decisions are declining. His decision making is declining. The man got Cheetos tattooed on his feet. That is not who you want leading your organization. That is
Is a
not a
rough draft.
stable. That is not the face of the league.
We shouldn't have had an American draft. Our player, this is terrible, man. Oh, Lord. They didn't deserve
This
this draft.
man gonna sit here and argue with me that LaMelo Ball is his star is rising. And granted, I will say Ja Morant hasn't proven to be the best decision maker in the past either, but his decisions are at least more aligned with a typical NBA player his age. There ain't too
Oh my
many dudes out
God.
there getting Cheetos tattooed on their feet.
Oh
Hot
my
Cheetos at
God.
that.
All right. I can't believe we got this far and this guy's name didn't show up. Cooper Flagg. How the heck? He should have went first.
Yeah.
Cooper Flagg has it all going for him. We don't know if he's gonna be a NBA superstar, but if he
Yeah.
does, he's got white America in a chokehold. He looks like
Yeah.
he actually cares. I don't think we're gonna be seeing any Ja Morant LaMelo shenanigans. That's my third pick. Should have been the
That's
first,
fair.
honestly.
That's fair. That's a good one. That's a really good one, actually. I'm jealous. I didn't get to that one.
Did you think about it? Was he on your list?
It wasn't on my list.
Woo! Mike's racist. Woo! Oh, crap.
Says my white wife and two mixed kids. But hey, yeah, I mean, yeah, that doesn't mean you're not a racist, so I'm not gonna let that be. I'm
That's
not
our
gonna let
white
anybody
friend.
slide. I'm not gonna let anybody slide, giving them space there. I am going to go with Michael Porter Jr. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
It's in line with Ja and LaMelo.
Mr. Conspiracy Theorist himself. it's real slim pickings out there after the names that we name. Like
Really bad.
it's bad, man. It's bad because I'm like, I'm just gonna go off the dude that I feel like has the highest ceiling remaining, and I'm gonna go Paolo Banchero.
Whoo, okay. I mean,
Because
that's fair.
I feel like he's MVP level potential. Will he
Yeah.
win MVP? Like, if I had to bet on it, no, but I think he's got the potential to.
No, that's definitely fair. Definitely fair.
And he's got a Italian last name and first name. Like, he appeals to European masses. He could have played for the European national team, so he's got a little bit of the foreign twist to him.
Yeah. This was really, really, really tough. I feel like I'm gonna cheat in a way. I'm not picking Zion only because he's failed me every single fantasy.
I passed by that man's name multiple times and didn't even think about
I thought I've been going back to it over and over and over. I'm gonna cheat a little bit and I'm gonna pick a tandem. J Dub and Chet. I think as a
You don't get to
duo,
pick. You don't get to pick
come
them.
on,
All right, come on, Darius. You don't get four names and then pick five. Like that's some Darius behavior, and you
like a
know it.
Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman. Like they're not Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was face, but they're the supporting cast of the face.
No. No.
Okay, I'll go with Zion then. All right, we'll go with Zion.
You didn't even feel confident enough about one of those guys to even say, I still,
You
I
can't
would
pick them by themselves. No, there's no way. They're,
have.
yeah, they're not the face of the league, but I mean, they'll be the support of the face of the league. So I felt like that counted. I'm
Scottie
gonna.
Pippen. Scottie Pippen. So what you're saying is Jalen Williams is whoever his future wife is gonna have
Whew.
multiple He's the it's
I wonder how Chase children are at this.
he's gonna spawn the future Larson.
Oh,
And with
love.
that being said, that's close enough to Dre and Michelle, so we out.